This is the Pitchfork Review. I'm Pooja Patel, the editor-in-chief. It's a time of year when we at Pitchfork like to take a second to pause and revisit all of the great and some of the not-so-great music that has come out this year so far. Last week, Jeremy and Anna joined me to talk about some of the biggest albums of the year, our overlooked favorites, and what we're looking forward to next. Today, we're diving into the big songs of 2023 so far. The ones we love, the ones we hate, and the singles that might just give us a hint about what's to come. Joining me to talk about it all is Ryan Domble and Kat Zhang. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
So I want to start with a song that woke me up this morning that seems to be playing everywhere at the grocery store, from cars, in the club. We are all coming to you live from Clinton Hill at the moment. And I don't know if you heard this, but I heard Boy's a Liar Part 2 blasting from what I think was teens going to school this morning at like 7:30.
And I can't eat enough without you. If you don't speak, does that mean we're through? Don't like sneaky shit that you do.
Are you hearing that song literally everywhere?
Honestly, maybe I'm just not paying attention, but I'm not hearing it as much as I want to because I love that song.
Yeah, it's just in my head. It's just in my head on repeat. So I guess that counts.
Well, one of the things that is kind of exciting about that song for me is that it does so many things at once. Like, it doesn't sound like any other song. It's kind of got the like hype regional rap voice of the moment, who happens to be a young woman from New York, which rules. It's got this like Jersey club / club rap beat to it, which is also like trending all over, which rules. It also has the TikTok virality element to it because of its association with Pink Panthers, but also because it went viral, right? Like, that's how that song blew up.
For my money, it's the best big pop song of the year so far. And part of it is because there's two artists who are young. You wouldn't exactly expect to collaborate with each other either. And the video is so good also, where they're just clearly enjoying each other's company, which sounds like a low bar for a video, but like a lot of collaborative videos, like, that doesn't even happen. It's just so infectious on that very kind of human level of just like these two people are enjoying what they're doing.
I feel like that song encapsulates so many things that are happening in music right now. And so I thought it would be cool for us to talk about maybe some of the trends that you're seeing, knowing that they are all working together and people who are being experimental are having huge success right now.
Yeah, so you mentioned the Jersey Club element of it. I mean, one of our staffers, Alphonse, had written about the rise of club rap, and there's this, you know, similar use of Jersey Club beats in pop music, whether it's Bad Bunny's recent song Where She Goes. Or there's this sort of London artist called Jim Legacy, and he's doing this sort of combination of like R&B, emo, and Jersey Club. So you're kind of seeing that influence sneaking its way through. We were the fools, tight in race, but if you would change, I'd give you
your face back. I feel like one of my favorite personal songs, or I made a playlist to get me through Coachella, Worst Festival on Earth.
trademark, Worst Festival on Earth.
But one song that I love is Neo Archives' Conveniency, which also, it doesn't necessarily even have any indication that there is going to be this like explosion of that kind of UK dance influence. It's an R&B song that like then completely flips on its head. I can't always say option number three. I'm at your convenience. You ain't never chosen me. Kat, are there other songs that you're seeing that are like really successful in doing that?
One producer that we've really loved recently is the Malaysian-Irish producer Yune Pinku. She has this EP out, I think, called Babylon X. And yeah, it's just like a really good sort of like, let me use the word like baby girl club pop EP. Mm-hmm. You know, it has like, it's very like twinkly and sparkly. Like I feel like people who like Pink Panthers will like her stuff, but maybe it's a bit clubbier. That's definitely been this, I guess, like a sleeper hit among the reviews team.
It's the renaissance of the baby girl, I think. Ryan, is there anything that you're seeing?
One of the big ones is independent rap is really lapping mainstream rap mm-hmm. right now. I feel like a lot of the big mainstream rap stars like Drake and Kendrick are kind of off cycle, not really doing that much, or they're on tour. We're still waiting on ASAP Rocky and Cardi B this year. They haven't really put anything out. Mm-hmm. But smaller artists have really filled that void. Like one is Billy Woods, whose album with Kenny Siegel, Maps, is phenomenal.
I will not be a sound check. I will not be in the green room if it's too lit. Could be at the local Greasy Spoon or Szechuan establishment. Courtyard by Marriott bathroom, blowing marijuana through the vents.
We recently gave a monster score to on the site.
a monster score.
Yeah. And a couple other smaller rappers, Tia Kareen, who we did a Rising profile on recently. She put out a mixtape last year called I Can't Wait that is kind of filled with rap and hyper pop and balladry. Like there's a rock moment, like it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. But she's, you know, first and foremost a rapper, and she has a hit called Freaky T, and was recently did a remix with the rapper Lotto.
I need chills. I tell that nigga, freaky like a baby, carry that on my hip. I just need a sip, cause shawty got me chills. Only pleasure call, that boy, I get that bitch up.
That's been exciting. Really curious to see what she'll do next. Another indie rapper is Tissa Korean, who is from Houston and is a very fun rapper.
Yeah.
Or it's just like his mood board is really a huge poster of Soulja Boy circa MySpace, like basically a printed out version of Soulja Boy's MySpace page. That is like 90% of the mood board. And then there's little like maybe Neptunes, like Pharrell's in the corner and like Timberland's in the other corner. But his brand of rap is dubbed silly. Like that is
okay,
kind of
perfect. It's yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, like basically if Lil B was based, like Tissa Korean is silly. Like that's kind of how I think about it. All the ad-libs are like silly. Like it's it's so fun to listen to. So anyway, he put out this tape called Let Me Update My Status. Great title for a mixtape as well. And it's filled with just kind of banger after banger. There's no lulls on this. It's a complete roller coaster joyride where the entire roller coaster ride is like going down, basically. So
the imagery here is so good.
So that's good. And yeah, a song from that, one of my faves, is called Uh-huh.
What I gotta do to get you out them James?
What I gotta do to get you to stop playing?
For the weather, man, I don't make it rain.
So another thing that we've been talking about is this kind of burst of regional Mexican music on the charts and just like gaining more solid footing within the United States.
Yeah, so this is a huge, kind of unexpected or at least unprecedented pop trend this year, which is, yeah, like you said, regional Mexican music, which is a term that encapsulates a lot of different subgenres like corridos, norteño, mariachi, and it's kind of marked by, I guess it has a traditional sound, acoustic guitars. There's a lot of brass. There's some tuba, trombone is on it. A lot of instruments you're not used to seeing or, you know, hearing on in the top 10 of like mm-hmm. the Hot 100, mm-hmm. which is kind of amazing. And a couple of the key songs that have really taken off. One is by this group called Grupo Frontera called Un Por Ciento, which features Bad Bunny. And it's funny because you listen to it and it has this traditional sound, but reading the lyrics, it's all about how this singer has 1% battery left on their phone and like they're using it to apologize to this woman that they've done wrong. It's this very kind of, you know, modern references to this song that sounds traditional. And I think that contrast is a lot of what appeals to younger audiences also. Y lo usaré solo para decirte lo mucho que lo siento. Que si me ven con otra en una disco solo es perdiendo el tiempo. The other big song right now is by this guy Peso Pluma and Eslabon Armado, which is called Ella Baila Sola. Me dijo que estoy muy loco, pero le gusta que ningún vato como yo actúa. Yeah, another one. It has that same kind of traditional sound. The story of the song is they're basically eyeing up a girl at a party and like kind of saying, you know, isn't she hot? It's very relatable lyrically, and the sound, it really is making waves on the charts in America for the first time.
This is an unusually good thing to happen within the charts, right? To see Ice Spice in the charts, to see this kind of like wave of Mexican music in the charts, but also people having fun. And like, I think we've been unified in being like, the common thread in all the music we like is that people seem to be enjoying themselves in the making of it and in the performing of it and in the like community around it.
Hey, I'm journalist Sam Sanders.
I'm poet Saeed Jones.
And I'm producer Zach Stafford. And we are the hosts of a podcast called Vibe Check.
On Vibe Check, we talk about everything. News, culture, and entertainment, and how it all feels.
That's right. We talk about any and everything on our show, from real life issues like grief to music and movie critiques. And that barely scratches the surface.
Yes, indeed. And it doesn't stop there. We have got a lot to say. So join our group chat, Come to Life. Follow and listen to Vibe Check wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, friends. I'm Alamine Abdul-Mahmoud. I'm the host of the new podcast, Commotion. If you don't know about us yet, well, we are your daily deep dive into the biggest stories coming out of the world of pop culture, art, and entertainment. And luckily, I'm not going to be doing it alone, okay? I'll be joined by some brilliant culture writers and thoughtful superfans. We're going to have hilarious hot takes. We're going to have vibrant debates. Consider this your invitation to join the group chat. Get in here and join us. Commotion, available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can we talk about some of the other just gigantic out of this world pop songs that have been taking over?
Yeah, this song came out last year, but it was one of the first like number one songs of the year. Bebe Rexha and David Guetta's I'm Good.
Oh my God.
Parentheses blue. I'm sure even if you've never heard it, you would be able to sing along or to like hum the melody because it relies on a really conspicuous Eurodance sample, which is Eiffel 65's Blue Daba D.
Oh, that's what that's called. I am one of those people who like don't know the name of that song, but have definitely heard it.
When you first heard this song, did you know the Eiffel 65 song?
Yes. If you're in middle school and you're at this gymnasium dance and you're like limited to tube top, like they're going to play that for you, you know? Like,
but I also feel like Blue is like now notorious as one of the most annoying songs of all time, right?
100%.
It's just like an egregious sample. And it kind of ties into this larger trend of artists, yeah, using like really conspicuous, often like vaguely annoying samples because publishing companies are pushing it onto them and because they want to tap into some nostalgia. Mm-hmm. So like some songs in this vein are like the rapper Young Gravy's song Betty, mm-hmm. which samples Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up. Hey, what's your baby mama at the crib and blow her back out? Shorty Filipino and she call me Manny Pacquiao. Alley-oop without the hoop,
they call me Jerry Stackhouse. Dazing out in public, but your mama made me snap out. Another really annoying song, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it just seems like a trend that's going to like keep on going because of the financial interests. I don't know. We're going to run ourselves into exhaustion, basically. Sorry to be like so sad about it.
No, this is the existential crises of our time, right?
This seems like it's actually the biggest song of the year on a Billboard level, which is Morgan Wallen's Last Night.
Oof.
You know, Morgan Wallen is a infamous country artist. I mean, I honestly really enjoyed his last album, Dangerous, but pretty shortly after that came out, he was caught on a video saying the N-word, and it's been very awkward ever since, to put it generously. And, you know, this is his follow-up album since that incident.
Mm-hmm.
Last Night is the big hit. Honestly, there's probably 10 songs from it on the Hot 100 right now. But it's just the laziest country song. It's every kind of dumb cliche that people say about country.
Can I guess what it's about?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Beers in a truck and girls in the shorts.
Never mind. Cut basically covered it.
That's my guess. Yeah.
It's like, is it an apology song?
It is an apology song.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You nailed it. Last night, he let the liquor talk. And it goes on from there. Last night, we let I can't remember everything we said, but we said it all. You told me that you wish I was somebody you never met. But baby, baby, something's telling me this ain't over yet. And yeah, a lot of the albums are these vague apologies. And it's like the only thing worse than not apologizing is like apologizing in the most rote way, like a little mm-hmm. kid that you're like, your mom like said, oh, you need to apologize for that. Like that's how mm-hmm. it feels.
Also, so, blame it on the alcohol is not, this is not how we're doing things in 2023.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Can we talk about what I think has been one of the most polarizing pop songs as far as our stuff goes, which is the Miley Cyrus song Flowers? Ooh, I didn't want to leave, babe. I didn't want to fight. Started to cry, but then remembered I can buy myself flowers.
Write my name in the sand. It's not interesting enough to be polarizing. Like, to me, it's like just a song, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Kat. Like, it is hashtag empowering, but like not like Katy Perry's Roar.
Don't be demeaning about someone's empowerment anthem.
Let's
no,
not
I'm
say,
with Dumble. Like,
it's like, I like the subtlety of the song in general. It's like hashtag empowerment, but the E is lowercase. Maybe. Doesn't okay. make me that excited about her album, which I guess is coming out soon. So
I think it's an earworm in a way that I don't mind, as opposed to the Bebe Rexha song where I'm just like, get out of my head.
At least like the Bebe Rexha song, God, I can't believe I'm this is not me mounting a defense, but I'm just like, you know, it's like so brazen that at least it's like kind of funny or whatever commands my attention. Like
mm-hmm.
I can buy myself flowers, an idea. I'm like, yeah, yeah, like whatever, like good for you. You have a credit card, like use it, I guess.
Not the Pitchfork editors hating on women who buy themselves flowers.
I'm just saying
what, is that worse than being like, I'm gonna have the best fucking time of my life. That's literally how the Bebe Rexha song goes.
Yes. Okay, maybe I'm saying that like she could do more with the conceit. How about that? And mm-hmm. like buying yourself flowers in and of itself is not interesting enough conceit.
I mean, it's a diss song about Liam. I think it's fine. Like, what she's saying is, like, the flowers don't matter. I can buy them
myself. They broke up a bajillion years ago.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, let's move on to Better Fare. Let's talk about just some good music that has come out this year that we really loved.
So I mentioned the Billy Woods album before, and my favorite song from that is called Year Zero with Danny Brown. And Danny Brown gives us my favorite rap verse of the year. And this song is kind of a post-apocalyptic track. Like, there's a lot of bulging distortion, and the production is like very kind of eerie, creepy. And on this song, Danny Brown comes in so hot. Like, this verse is everything I want from a rap verse. Like, there are references to Good Will Hunting and Cool Runnings. He rhymes Good Will Hunting and Cool Runnings. Amazing. There's a joke about how the McDonald's ice cream machine is always broken on this song.
Tell him drive through like 20 piece nuggets. Broke like the ice cream machine. You niggas rubbish.
It's not like a Nas like storytelling masterclass, but this is just like he's just ripping it. And it's such a joy to hear. So that's 100% one of my favorite songs of the year so far.
One of my favorite songs of the year, and I'm sure a lot of other people's favorite songs, is Chosen to Deserve by the band Wednesday. The entire album is amazing, so sometimes it kind of doesn't seem fair to like single out the song, but I think it's like such a romantic song in a kind of warped way. The song is basically Carly Hartzman being like, look, I'm kind of fucked up. Like, I grew up and my friends were like overdosing on Benadryl. Like, I was pissing in the street. I was having sex, you know, in my car. You love me and I'm the person that you were chosen to deserve.
Doing it in some cul-de-sac underneath the dogwood tree.
Even in the title, there's a little twist. There's kind of this like biblical aspect of it, which is significant because she's like a Jewish girl who grew up in like a really Christian surrounding. So there's kind of like the language of fate there, but there also is the language of choice, which is like, you have chosen me. And like, you know, we have this kind of like lasting bond in spite of, or even because of my sort of like particularities and like fucked upness. That's so touching to me.
There's so many good songs on that album. Like, I think I speak for us all when I say that will be one of our favorite staff albums this
year?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, I'm Tom. I'm the host of the podcast Q with Tom Power. People have used some really nice words to describe our show, like, you know, genuine or intimate or honest. Honestly, I think the best word to describe our show is real. Just real conversations with really incredible artists. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're deep, but we try to always make them real. So if you want to hear some of your favorite artists be, I guess, real, check out our podcast, Q with Tom Power, available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another song I want to highlight is by this Brooklyn duo that we've been following for a little bit called Water From Your Eyes. They are just like big old weirdos. Like, they had this album in 2021 called Structure, which had like two mirror halves and like a lot of little Easter eggs and tricks in them. And then it was like, first you had like swooning vintage pop, and then you'd have some like weird garbled poems, and then the halves would end on like two very different versions of the same song. So they just have this attention to like architecture and form in a way that a lot of other bands don't. But they have a new album coming out, and the lead single of that album, Barley, is just a song that I listen to and I'm like, this rules. And I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on. The lyrics are so oblique. Ostensibly, they have like something to do with like late capitalism. But it's like the lyrics are like, 1, 2, 3, 4, I count mountains.
1, 2, 3, count you, you're a cool thing, count mountains.
At best, you get this sort of vague image of like the clock ticking or someone kind of daydreaming to like...
It's very spoken wordy too.
Yeah, get over like the workday. Mm. But like the counting really is just like that element that it adds is like this really kind of like flat and cool tone. And then there are like a bajillion different elements like kind of shooting off this sort of like crunchy swirl as if it's like, you know, you're listening to like broken glass and like a tornado. Shakers, this sort of like drone bleat. There are like drums in there. You know, it's like so hard to talk about like why it works, but it ends up sounding like, you know, really nothing I've heard before.
I feel like something about that song and that band generally is like, it's so fun when you can't necessarily identify the tension release point. And there's just like these so many elements that are like building a sense of tension. And there's no traditional structure about when that will end. So like it forces you to be present in the song and it forces you to be actively listening, which is something that we've talked a lot on the show and in last week's episode about how there's this trend towards like low-key vibes and really like being awash in like self-discovery and mm-hmm. like processing your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nice that some of the songs we're talking about right now are kind of the opposite of that.
Yeah. I was going to say, Water From Your Eyes is definitely the opposite of that.
I don't know if this sounds like the same thing, but I was going to ask you what are maybe personal favorites or things that you will be on a personal campaign for to make it maybe onto our songs list at the end of the year or to just kind of get some more support behind them.
There's a song that kind of snuck up on me, especially when I read the lyrics. It's by this Philadelphia singer-songwriter named Greg Mendez. He's been around for like 15 years or so. You know, he gets compared a lot to Alex G. He has a song named Maria, which at first comes off like pretty unassuming, but the conceit of it is so funny and the writing is so good. So basically he starts out saying like, you know, I don't really want to open up to you because if I do, I'm going to say something dumb. And then he immediately confirms that hypothesis by saying something dumb and going on this whole detour about how he and his friend got arrested at a crack den, like the police were waiting for them.
Chris and I jumped out the back.
It's a pretty economical song that has a lot of dimension to it, and it's something that I have recommended to a lot of friends, especially like Alex G fans, just because of the sweetness and intimacy mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah, I need to listen to that song.
Yeah,
I'd say one that I'm really pushing for is called To Be Honest, which is by Christine and the Queens. And it's from his upcoming album called Paranoia Angels True Love.
Now I'm sitting alone and I'm trying to listen to the stories that could make mine a little softer if I, to be honest.
It's a classic Chris song. It's theatrical. It's got all of the emotions in, you know, the most kind of blown up sense. It feels like its own, you know, mini melodrama. But, you know, it's a lovelorn track. And it made me think about just the title phrase, like, to be honest, this is, you know, it's such a phrase that we kind of toss around like in passing or just like it's an addendum to a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of made me think about it, this phrase, like in a different way, honestly, like almost like to be honest, like this is like the goal of life sort of thing. And that's what Chris does. I think he blows up these things that we maybe take for granted about everyday life into, yeah, these life or death emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's such a great example of that.
This is a great segue into talking about things that are coming out Are there any singles from upcoming albums that have come out that have been particularly interesting or exciting or nerve-wracking for you?
Well, Dijon released what is presented as a one-off single, but perhaps there's new music coming along the way. I absolutely loved his 2020 album, absolutely. I know pretty much everyone else on staff did too. If I were in a room of people who I didn't know and I had to play them like one artist, I would play Dijon because I just like think that everyone kind of likes him.
Mm-hmm.
And the song that he released is called Coogie.
If it please, and I do my best to bear it, and I do my best to bear it.
You know, it doesn't make a huge statement within the broader context of his discography, but it just sounds so pleading and raw and good. In a similar vein to like some of his other songs, he's kind of like addressing someone being like, I'm afraid that I need you too much. Like, I'm sort of scared, but I'm going to do my best. I don't know how to describe it. This sort of like gentlemanly quality to some of his music sometimes, where he's like, in the song, he's like, if it pleases you, honey, I'll do my best to bear it. Kind of reminds me of one of my favorite lines from like entirely different artists, although they're playing together this summer, but from Claro in Bags, where she's sort of like, pardon my emotions, I should probably keep it all to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just like the sort of like graciousness.
Politeness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited for whatever he has coming next.
Looking ahead, mine is possibly like potentially the Pitchfork MVP of 2023. Definitely in the running right now, which is Fortet.
Yeah.
I know he was mentioned in the previous episode about albums, but he's so hot right now. You just need to mention him in every podcast that we do. This is the guy who, you know, has dominated electronic dance music across the year alongside his bros, Skrillex and Fred again, headlining Coachella at the last minute, selling out MSG, etc. And he put out a song, a Fortet song called Three Drums earlier this year that is over 8 minutes. And I've listened to the entire thing endless times. This song, Three Drums, is kind of like a culmination of like a lot of the greatness that he's released, like all the albums that he's put out in the last 20 years. A lot of what I love about them is in this song. It's kind of pillowy, it's kind of heady, but it has this steady beat. Like there's some kind of krautrock elements. And he's hasn't announced a Fortet album this year, but he just has so much momentum. It would seem weird if he didn't put a Fortet record out. So that is definitely near the top of my list. Like this could be a crowning moment, you know, like he's just crushing it on every level. And to put out a new album would be real like icing on the cake 2023.
Mr. Tet, please.
Well, thank you for joining me today. This was fun.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
The Pitchfork Review is a production of Condé Nast. Catherine Fenollosa at Rococo Punch is our senior producer. James Trout at Rococo Punch is our technical producer. Ryan Domble is our showrunner. Jessica Gramulia is our music supervisor. I'm Pooja Patel. Thanks for listening.
Hey, friends. I'm Alamine Abdul-Mahmoud. I'm the host of the new podcast, Commotion. If you don't know about us yet, well, we are your daily deep dive into the biggest stories coming out of the world of pop culture, art, and entertainment. And luckily, I'm not going to be doing it alone, okay? I'll be joined by some brilliant culture writers and thoughtful superfans. We're going to have hilarious hot takes. We're going to have vibrant debates. Consider this your invitation to join the group chat. Get in here and join us. Commotion, available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.